In 1983, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein founded the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, also known as The Fellowship. He devoted his life to building bridges of understanding and cooperation between Christians and Jews and broad support for the State of Israel. After more than 35 years as founder and president of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein passed away unexpectedly on February 6, 2019, at his home in Israel. This year, 2023, the Fellowship celebrates its 40th anniversary of providing life-saving assistance and bridge-building work under the leadership of Rabbi Eckstein's daughter, Yael Eckstein, who stepped into her father's role as president and CEO of the Fellowship. Today, we honor and celebrate the man, the rabbi, and the visionary in our Fellowship Tribute Radio special, Remembering the Life of Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein. Yael Eckstein sat down to talk with the man who knew Rabbi Eckstein the best and who witnessed his many ups and downs in forging this difficult and often lonely path, Rabbi Eckstein's younger brother, Beryl Eckstein. Let's listen.
On February 6, 2019, my father, my Abba, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, died suddenly from a heart attack. My father was the founder of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I had the blessing of working alongside him for almost 15 years. When he passed away, I lost both a loving parent and my mentor. I want to celebrate my father's life and his groundbreaking work by focusing on who he was and the contribution that he made to the world. And to do that, I couldn't think of a better guest than another exceptional member of my family, my father's beloved younger brother and my uncle, Uncle Beryl Eckstein. Beryl saw my father through it all, from the beginning of the fellowship through the difficult early years to the years of unprecedented success. Beryl has led a remarkable life too. He was born in Ottawa, Canada, the youngest son of my grandparents, Rabbi Simon and Belle Eckstein. Like my father, he went to Yeshiva University in New York City, and he chose to pursue a career in the commodity trading industry. Uncle Beryl, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Yael, and thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts of my brother and your father.
I'd love to hear a story that captures the kind of person that my father was.
Your father was full of energy, and he was always in the light. He was the life of the party. He was not shy, that is for sure. Yekiel was always brilliant. He always was, even from childhood. But he was also very independent. He would take advice, rarely, but he would take advice, but he was always the decision maker. Yekiel would tell us he was reaching out to non-Jews to work together to make the world a better place. He said he was forging unity, and only later did we appreciate the magnitude of what he was doing. He saw his goal, and he was going for that goal, but he needed someone to go with him. Vayelchu shneim yachdav, you have to go together with someone. And he didn't find it in the Jewish community. There were probably one or two people that worked with him at the beginning, but it was really the evangelical community that joined with him. And he really believed that he was on a mission, a goal, and he wouldn't let anything else ruffle his feathers. That lasted for a while. At a certain time, it started to get to him. As time would go on, he faced criticism in his own community when he wasn't able to study the Talmud the same way people were saying, we don't want you to study with us. He was starting then to be ostracized from the community that he really felt was his community. And he took that very hard. I was with him actually at a very traumatic moment for him when the Rabbinical Council of America at one of their conventions, one of the rabbis got up and specifically put a ban on him. I remember specifically how hurt he was. And he said, they simply don't get it. Right. And the wild thing is that all those people who criticized him, all those people came around, they became his supporters in everything he did, and they realized that they were simply on the wrong side of history. You know, he had a mission, and they appreciated the mission, and I think that was across the board.
Yeah, yeah. In the beginning, people just didn't get it, were the words that you used. And I think that's really perfect. It's not even that they rejected it. They didn't understand.
Ignorant. Ignorant is the word I would say.
And a lack of a vision and dreaming. It's something that's never been done. That, you know, when people said, I remember him telling me when he would tell people in the Jewish community, I'm working with Christians to support Israel. And they'd say, oh, what do they want to do? Convert us or kill us? He said, no, it's a new reality. You have to be open to a new reality besides that. Of what you read in the history books. They're reaching out their hands, and we have a choice now. Do we want to reach out our hands in return or not, and have strategic friends and partners that the Jewish people have never had before, and the Christian community to have this opportunity to be part of biblical prophecy coming to fruition, the land of Israel, helping and standing with the Jewish people. And there's so much that we have to grow together, to learn together, and to accomplish together. And so I look at it really as that first stage that people didn't even understand what my father's vision was. They just rejected it. And then there was a second stage when the fellowship started raising funds and distributing it to different causes to help Jewish people in need, Aliyah, and helping Jews in the former Soviet Union. And then suddenly the Jewish community, in a way, still didn't understand it, but they were willing to hear it and accept it. And then the third stage, I think, happened pretty recently, where suddenly the entirety of the Jewish people got it, that this is bigger than donations. This is bigger than helping the poor, even though the fellowship is the largest philanthropic organization in Israel. This represents itself in creating a stronger world and a stronger future for our children, whether it's moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, or recognizing the Golan Heights, or that Israel is our greatest ally in a time when there's so much divisiveness. There are these individual and community of Christians who stand together with one agenda to help Israel and the Jewish people. And that is something that my father in the beginning saw, but took the Jewish community so many years in order to really understand this vision that he had.
I always say he was a lot like Joseph. You know, Joseph went, he said, "Et achai ani mevakesh, I'm going to look for my brothers." He had a search, a meaning in life, but yet like Joseph, in so many ways, he was a dreamer. He was misunderstood by his people, by his own brothers, and he was maligned by his own people. But in the end, he rose to greatness, and in the end, his brothers, not that they bowed down to him, but in the end, they knew he was
appreciated
right.
And
that's really history. It's really history. But he did have something he found comfort in. He found comfort, or maybe he became more intense, listening to a song, which he listened to maybe 20, 30 times a day. It was a song by Sarit Chadad called Shema Yisrael. And I'll read you the words. It says, "When the heart cries, only God hears. The pain rises out of a soul. A man falls down before he sinks. With a little prayer, he cuts the silence. Shema Yisrael, my God, you're the omnipotent. You gave me life. You gave me everything." It's when the heart cries, you find comfort in God. And that was your father. He was in pain. For that time, it was really hard. He was on a mission from God, and he felt alone. And people were criticizing him. And he was able to pick himself up. And you know what? Even when he was, you know, scared, or even when he was stressed, he would pick himself up and continue his mission, and he didn't let it deter him. He was really special.
Yeah. So, Uncle Beryl, how would you sum up my father's legacy to the world?
I think that, you know, I mean, clearly there is the simple legacy, which I'll call the legacy that the world will always see, and then there's my legacy that I have with him. He changed history. He was the first to reach out to the evangelical community, and he was the only one for many, many years. As we spoke about before, he reached out, and he reached out alone. And it took a long time for people to appreciate him. And so to me, his legacy is twofold. As far as the public legacy, his legacy is both reaching out and building bridges with the evangelical community and introducing that friendship, that bond to the world. For me, It's all his soul, his caring for people, for each individual, for family, for the land of Israel, for the people of Israel, and also for the Torah of Israel. Just his soul is what I miss. To me, his legacy was an angel. He really was a special person that we were gifted to have as such a close relative. He was an angel sent by God, and he filled his mission, and he fulfilled his legacy that which you carry on. But it's his soul that I remember, his warmth and his caring and his love. Love was who he was. He really loved it. Talked about evangelicals, it's love. Talk about charity, it's love. Talk about family, it's love. He was an angel sent by God.
Ah, beautiful. He knew his calling and felt oftentimes burdened by it, to be honest, but more often than that, being privileged to be able to be completing this mission that he had in life. Thank you, Uncle Beryl. Thank you so much for sharing another side of my father with the world.
You've been listening to Yael Eckstein, President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, as she pays tribute to the life and legacy of her father, Fellowship founder Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, along with her special guest, Beryl Eckstein, Yael's uncle and Rabbi Eckstein's younger brother. Rabbi Eckstein built bridges that challenged history, defied convention, and ultimately brought healing to the world. This year, 2023, the ministry he founded celebrates its 40th anniversary as the leading ministry blessing Israel and the Jewish people with humanitarian care and life-saving aid. Through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Christians are partaking in the blessing found in the Bible that says God will bless those who bless his people, Genesis 12, verse 3. They are fulfilling prophecy by helping Jews return to the promised land of Israel, Isaiah 49, verse 22. They are observing God's true fast by feeding hungry Holocaust survivors, Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. And they are praying for the peace of Jerusalem by providing security to those threatened in Israel, Psalm 122, verse 6. None of this would have happened were it not for the calling, courage, and commitment of one man. Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein's life was a testament to a simple fact. Once someone has been touched by God, amazing things can happen. Thank you for listening to our Fellowship Tribute Radio Special, Remembering the Life of Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein. Learn how you can honor Rabbi Eckstein's legacy by visiting ifcj.org/rabbi. That's ifcj.org/rabbi, R-A-B-B-I. May God bless you. Shalom.